Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Zoe Tracy recording at 9:02 British Summer Time. Today is August 16th. Well, a storming day on U.S. Treasury markets today, with the long bond up almost 2 full points. In the UK and Europe, both the gilts and bunds were up in the region of 0.75 point, and we continue to see a phenomenal amount of commonality right across the sovereign bond markets. But the size of the advance today, coming at on hot on the heels of very impressive advances last week, is beginning to look a little bit suspicious in view of the acceleration that's already occurred. A bit more on that in a moment. In the equity markets, the Dow Jones and the S&P are both finishing the day relatively unchanged. They spent a good part of the early part of the session in negative territory, but have recouped that decline. And while we still see nothing in the way of upper dynamics to suggest that demand is regaining the upper hand, nor are we seeing markets falling on consecutive days here. So it's been reasonably quiet. They do, however, need to get back above their 200-day moving averages to really begin to indicate that demand is getting the upper hand and to lend some support to investor confidence. In Europe, also a reasonably quiet day in here today. The majority of markets were down, but very slightly. The FTSE was in positive territory, but only by less than 1 full point. So, relatively quiet day in the in the stock markets. And in Asia, the A-share market in China had really quite an impressive move to the upside. It's recouped the declines from much of the end of last week, and it continues to look like it's in the process of forming at least a short and quite potentially a medium-term bottom in this area. The Malaysian market also broke upwards to new recovery highs in here today. India was relatively quiet, but whereas we've seen rather sharp pullbacks in a number of markets in Europe and in the USA, the same isn't quite true of a number of the leading Asian markets. They have pulled back, but they still look to be nothing more than reactions towards their 200-day moving averages in a worst-case scenario type of environment. So they continue to lead to the upside, and that really is a, I think, a delineating factor between the performance of so-called developed markets and emerging markets. Elsewhere, in the commodities today, gold was stronger by almost $9, back up to $1,224. Silver was a little bit stronger by 28 cents. Both platinum and palladium have found support in the region of the lower sides of their ranges and have rallied somewhat in the last few days. But they really do need to hold above the their most recent lows, and to offset potential that these could be right-hand extension below the completed type 2 tops that we saw back in April. So they really do need to hold above those recent lows for platinum in particular. That's around $1,500 level, and I think for palladium it's around the 450. In the industrial commodities, they were all in positive territory, not by very much, but copper was firmer by 2.85 cents, and nickel was stronger by $275. So tin, which has been the leader, also has bounced in the last few days and is going back up to test its recovery highs once more. So certainly in the industrial metal complex, we're definitely getting more interest returning, and you certainly don't have the same amount of fear being displayed in the commodity markets that is certainly the case in some of the developed country stock markets. In the agricultural complex, the wheat price pulled back rather sharply in here today. It had been ranging above the $700 level in what looked like potentially that it was forming at least a short-term bottom, but it broke down from that little range in here today and closed out the day below the 700 cent level. I think I said dollar earlier on, excuse me, 700 cent level. And it does need now a countermanding upward dynamic to suggest that it hasn't hit a relatively important peak up here. And it had accelerated up to that level, and it was based very much on the Russian weather forecast, and the drought does appear to be weakening or to be subsiding somewhat. So that will rob the wheat market of a certain amount of demand. The soybean market was down by about 12 cents. That's a little bit off the high, but not in the same kind of dynamic way that we saw perhaps with the wheat market. And rough rice was also a bit softer in here. Which had been moving higher on the coattails of wheat and not in any particular strong way as a result of the major flooding in Pakistan. It does, however, remain a rather interesting sector generally, and the fact that we've had corn, soybeans, oats, and wheat break upwards in Well, sorry, oats and wheat breaking upwards in no uncertain terms, corn and soybeans testing the upper side of their ranges. If soybeans in particular can hold within what has been a remarkably consistent advance over the last 2 months with little step sequence uptrends, if it can sustain that, then the likelihood of soybeans being able to sustain an upward break will have increased really quite considerably. And all of this is happening against a background in government bonds, which really is beginning to price in an economic apocalypse, because we're seeing that US Treasuries now are up to 100 and almost 134, which are really quite laughable areas in terms of the yield that's being offered for a long-term investor. One really would have to be subscribing to a major long-term deflation to see value in these at the moment. And from the technical perspective, it has been a remarkably consistent advance, but it is quite clearly accelerating. And one thing that we see time and again with major accelerations is that you will see that something accelerates, and at its high, it has the biggest advance of 1 day advance of the entire move. And today's move on treasuries was almost a full 2 points. So that's the biggest 1 day advance for US treasuries that we've seen in the course of this uptrend over the last 2 and 3 months. That's exhausting potential demand at an accelerating rate. And personally, I was tempted to short them this evening. I didn't do it because I would prefer to wait for that downward dynamic, but we are very quickly approaching a situation where the treasury markets, both in the USA and the UK, in Europe and Japan, are pricing in really rather bad news for the global economy. And the commodity markets are saying something different. So one of them is wrong, for sure. And stock markets, they've pulled back for certain in the majority of Europe, probably Northern Europe, particularly Germany, the Netherlands, Sweden, Denmark, excepted. But Asia stock markets haven't pulled back in that way. China's market looks like it's bottoming, and we're probably into a slower growth environment for a number of these markets, but what's been priced in these government bond prices is really quite an extreme. And prices are accelerating, and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they can't continue to accelerate. So if someone were lucky enough to be long, then this is, without the shadow of a doubt, this is trailing stop territory. And for those of us looking for a shorting opportunity, there's a strong likelihood that the first clear downward dynamic is going to signal a high of at least short-term significance and potentially medium-term significance. UK 10-year gilts are testing the 3% level once more. That's exactly the same level that they were at back in early 2009, when people didn't really believe that we were going to have any kind of economic recovery at all. So that's pricing in really rather a lot of bad news. And I believe it's still very much an open question as to exactly how much bad news we're going to get. So I think these sovereign bond markets, they're probably all likely to turn around the same time, and the chances are that we're going to see a string of downward dynamics across a number of these markets all in one go. If we do see that commonality in tandem with downward dynamics following the acceleration, then the type of certainty that we have that we've reached an important high will really be very emphatic indeed, and I think there's a strong likelihood that that's what we're going to get. So I think that this we are being set up for really quite an impressive shorting opportunity in these government bond markets, and this will certainly be something to keep an eye on over the coming days. And I don't think it's going to be a couple of weeks. It's probably going to be considerably shorter than that. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.